Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Buffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Buffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Buffet, founder and owner of our syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. We are the media partner for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. We're in our fifth year of partnership. And if you're tuning in for the first time, we are a Boston-based internet radio station with all the bells and whistles. You can listen to us wherever you are in the world with whatever item you have, whether it's a smartphone, on if you're asking Alexa, all the different places. And even if you listen through Spreaker or those types of platforms, we are connected to about 45 to 50 podcast directories. So it's quite neat. Well, I have an excellent guest for you today, and her name is Pam Colquist. And first I want to say that she is the cousin of one of our excellent hosts, Deborah Bruintout of the Second Genesis Awakening. And it's interesting to talk with her because I feel the vibe of Deborah through there. So let me talk about Pam. She is an author, a life coach, and a motivational speaker. She has taught over 40 years English courses for in the public schools and college right in Utah. She has written this wonderful book, Moving with God Past the Pain of Divorce, Death, and Any Parting of Lives Once Joined. Now, she also has written a couple of books that I want her to share first, too, is The Mudbugs and the Winged Creature, and a small book called The Mudbugs and the Winged Creature. And so we want to share all of that with you today. And without further ado, Pam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Deborah. I'm so happy to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. I had to. I couldn't let you go. Knowing
you. Oh, You're wonderful. I love your shows, and I'm so excited to be here. I'm honored, really.
Thank you. So the honor is all mine. So we're going to be talking about moving with God past the pain of divorce, death, and any parting of lives once joined. But please talk about the Mudbugs, because I have not read them, but I leaf through them, and they have a little energy of their own.
Yeah, you know, that is, I came out with the Mudbug and the Winged Creature book last year, 2021, and then I came out with just a small version without the photographs this year, the small book of the Mudbug and the Winged Creature. But that was a book that actually... I began this journey, I would bet, 40 years ago. My former husband came home from a memorial service for two young children who had been simultaneously and tragically killed in an auto pedestrian accident. And he came away from the celebration of life with just in awe of the parents who stood in front of everyone in the congregation and just talked about how grateful they were for the short but happy time that they had with those two children. They showed such courage. And then the pastor got up and included in his remarks was the story of a water bug that eventually transformed into a dragonfly. And the story was meant to be a kind of comfort for the parents, to say that though they couldn't, they could no longer see their children who had now become the dragonfly, the winged creature, that in fact they were soaring happy and free. And it was just a beautiful story. So I heard that very secondhand, but nevertheless was so moved by the whole event that I always remembered that story. And several years later, my own cousin, Deborah, lost her child after a long illness. And I looked everywhere, in bookstores, everywhere I could think of, the libraries, to try to find the story, because I wasn't sure I could remember it myself that well. I couldn't find it. There was no internet at the time. So eventually, I wrote the story down as best I could, and I sent it off to her in the hopes that it would bring her comfort. Years later, I used that story in a program in my English classes that I entitled Motivational Magic, that not only talked about English, but it really talked about how to live life fully and happily and so forth. My students kept saying to me, you should turn that into a book and adapt that to for a book. And so eventually I did that. And that is the story that has come out in that book. And you know, without saying too much about the story, other than there were mud bugs living at the bottom of a riverbed, lives were very mundane. One by one, they seemed to climb up a vine and disappear out of the river. And of course, for all the mud bugs that were still down at the bottom of this riverbed, there was a lot of just sadness in losing their friends who disappeared for no reason that they could think of at all. And one day, the leader called everyone together and made everyone promise that if that mud bug was the next to go, he or she would come back and tell the rest what had happened and why the others had not returned. It turns out that the leader of the mud bug is the next to go. Without knowing why, he begins climbing up this reed. I won't go into the whole story because it goes quite a bit longer than this, and there are many lessons as part of this story. It's quite a different take from the original story in many ways. But I will say that his journey upward is wrought with pain. It's a journey of despair, trial, tribulation, darkness, so dark, in fact, that everything inside is calling him to return to the familiar life, to the comfort of what he has known, no matter how dismal and dreary it was. And I will also say that the winged creature that he transforms into eventually, and there's a lot more to the story than that, even after that, but the winged creature was within him all along, just as the winged creature is within all of us all along. It's the promise of freedom and joy, even during the darkest of times. So that's basically what that story is all about.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that. And they can, that book, all the books are actually on the Dream Vision 7 site under Books We Adore. So they can get them there, or they can get them through Amazon or anywhere else. So now, a little bit about what happened here was one early morning, just 9 months ago, after she and her husband of 27 years had separated, you inadvertently began a dialogue that would change your life forever. And in a moment of desperation, you sat down with pen and paper and cried out to God for help. So you were going through a very challenging time, and this is some years back, and you just decided to take pen to paper and say, okay, God. So one of the things that I wanted to mention is, or ask you, by doing this and writing the book to help others, you, yourself, Pam, has actually evolved and learn so much about yourself, and now armed at peace with everything that has transpired. Am I correct in my assessment?
You are very correct. Absolutely. I felt like as I was writing, I wrote that book actually more as a journal for myself. I never expected it to become a book. It was so personal, and I was going through so much heartbreak that I was writing it. To be honest, I had many sleepless nights, and I was writing it to just gain some peace and go back to bed and go to sleep. I had no expectation that I would receive the answer that I did receive. That was just so comforting and so enlightening about that. I actually continued writing that for a year, and then eventually put it away, thinking it was just for me. But I've never revised the God parts. They were so comforting, so perfect. That I would pull that out every once in a while and reread it. And I would just be so filled with joy and with healing that I decided it was not just for me. It was a book that I needed to put out. Sent it off to some publishers about 4 years after I wrote it and received a couple of contracts. And I thought, I've always thought if anyone wanted my book, that would be fantastic. But, you know, when I went to sign the contracts, I just couldn't do it. One in particular that was a really good contract from a very good publisher. And I just, every time I would go to sign it and send it back, I couldn't do it. And I didn't know why.
And why
I
do
just,
you
there was just something inside. I think it was, I needed to do it my way. It was a personal book. I thought, you know, maybe I'm not ready. Maybe I'm not ready to share this journey with the world, you know, to say that I'm actually talking to God, that my students and everyone will think I'm crazy. There were a lot of fear-filled reasons why I didn't go public with the book at that point. So I put it away again for about 3 years and then attended a course and decided to self-publish it so that I could do it my way. And I've been so happy I did it that way.
Yes. And it resonated with you, I'm sure. So one of the things we all ask God questions, and especially when we're under stress or distress or something, a tragedy, happen. Do you feel that God experiences through us? In other words, do you think we have been created in a sense so that he or she, whatever you want to call God, source, can experience the things that happen on earth, and with our free will, we get to make choices that can be detrimental to ourselves or others?
Yes, there are so many questions about that, you know, and I feel like there are so many truths. I do feel that God experiences life, I suppose you might say, through each and every one of us in unique ways. I feel that we each have our relationship with the divine, and those relationships can be very different. They can be anything from just total love and dependency on God and all of that. It can even be a denial of God. And I just feel that the God that I have learned to know is a God of such incredible love. The love is so far beyond anything that any of us can even fathom. There's one part in the book where I talk about the fact that I feel so lucky that I was able to have that relationship where I could actually just sit down with pen and paper and write questions and just find the answers flowing through me but beyond me. And I felt this relationship was so beautiful. And the God in my book has responded by saying, every relationship is beautiful and each must choose the relationship that you have with me, because freedom of choice is goes all the way through this. He at one point says, any one of you can create anything you want at any time and in any way, even the very relationship you foster or deny with your God and source. Friend, father, ruler, despot, judge, king. I'm called by so many names. Out of gentleness, yes, I honor them all. But ultimately, I know only one, and that name is love. And that's the, mm-hmm. the message that comes through in this book to me, that, you know, there is no loss, really. There, if we focus on what is rather than what is missing, we find that change just happens all the time. But there's no loss. There's only a change. And if we can appreciate and embrace that, we can find the joy that comes with that change. I feel like there is no death. One gentleman said, Ernest Holmes said, death is just an impatient gesture of the soul as it seeks freedom. It's just, life is just such a joy if we allow mm-hmm. it to be, even in the darkest of times.
Right. I agree with that because the relationship that you can have with God is so, you can't put words to it. It's just so benevolent. And if you have that source in your life every day, it can help change or shift things that are heavier. With that said, because of the tragedies that I have experienced, and like your Deborah, who had her second child was killed in an accident, that for myself, I know in my heart that they live on. They're not in bonds,
yes,
but they are free. And they are closer than we actually think. With that said,
yes,
it's a long journey to get through the grief of not having the physical person here, especially with kids. You know, it's all, you know, what... what could have it been like, or things of that sort. But
yes,
that emptiness and that devastation, it's a long road to get to a place of peace when your dear loved ones have moved on. Yeah, especially I think when when someone passes in their 90, you know, they had a full life, you know, they had a lot of trials and tribulations, but off they go. But it's a very so I know from the depth of my soul that they live on, and they may even be reincarnated. Who knows? That's another segment.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure,
to not have them in the body and share your day to day life, that is it's a tough one. But with that said, I can agree with you that you do come to find peace and joy. I'll tell you a little thing that I don't think I've ever said on radio before. During my funeral, this was years back, we were young, one of our friends was a fireman, and he came in with his wife, and he had red hair. And he was a tall, big guy. And his whole head was wrapped up in bandages. But you could see his red hair poking out at the top. And I didn't even know who I was at that time. But we all burst out and laughed. And that, it just showed a little gift of light in such devastation. So you
absolutely
right. You experience all these things, you know, just a soft breeze, and you're feeling it on your skin.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the things that just, you could just be done with life because you've experienced them. So,
yes.
But I want to hear what you have to say about that as I went on. But we need to take our first break, everyone. So don't go away. We'll be back more with Pam Colquist.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Looking for your own personal roadmap to understanding the universe and your place in it? Learn to use astrology to understand yourself, friends, family, and current events, and improve your life in the process with author and astrologer Gal Sasson. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Learn to Read Your Astrology Chart at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, October 14th to the 16th. Learn more at eomega.org.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around 7 paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. We're talking with Pam Colquist. She is an author, a former teacher, she's still teaching, a life coach, and a motivational speaker. And we're talking about her book, Moving with God, Past the Pain of Divorce, Death, and Any Parting of Lives Once Joined. And I want to give you an opportunity to reply with your thoughts on what I was sharing just before the break, Pam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that too, Deborah. You know, you're absolutely right. When you're going through that grief and the heartache and all of that, sometimes it's hard even to get out of bed and just put one foot in front of the other. But you do that, and realizing even though, you know, you might intellectually know inside or feel inside or believe inside, that it will all work out somehow, and that there is more to this death, for example, or this separation than you realize at the present moment. Sometimes it is. It's just one step and then another and another. And looking outside and seeing a beautiful sunny day and seeing nothing but the clouds and the darkness. But as time goes on and you have moments, you have glimmers where suddenly, as you said, the breeze passes your face, caresses your cheeks, and you think of your loved one, and you think of a beautiful moment that you shared with that person. Or it could even be a pet, you know, anyone, anything. You know, if you can come to the understanding that even though it's really hard to totally embrace it when you're going through that grief, it's so difficult at times. But if you can realize that each of us is actually moving through this life in which every single drama, every heartbreak that we go through, every tragedy, every triumph, every ordinary moment is an opportunity for us to awaken and to find out who we are and what's truly important to us in our lives. And part of that, what's truly important to us in our lives, are the lives of the people we care about, the lives of the people and the beings that we have that have been so important to us. And who actually help us to become who we are. But the lives and the death help us with that. And just as a personal example, aside from the separation and an eventual divorce with my former husband and now very good friend, you know, when I was 12, I lost my father to cancer. And when I was 14, I lost my mother to a kidney disorder. I've always said that she was heartbroken. They were lovers from the time I think they eloped at 18. She was 18, he was 20. You know, that was devastating for me and for my siblings. That was a really terrible time in our lives, a very dark time in our lives in so many ways. But, you know, and I actually felt like I was the victim, and I allowed that victim mentality to really hamper a lot of the joy in my life. But I wrote this.
That's natural, Pam. I think that's
it
natural,
is.
Especially when you were
it
young,
is.
Because I think, weren't you like 14 years old?
Yeah, 12 and 14, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's natural to go into that victim mindset, and that's all part of the journey, as we know, right?
It is.
It's
part of the journey.
It does so much. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
So as a young girl, how did you find the inner strength to keep going?
You know, there were a lot of things that I did. I remember one moment I came home to an empty house. Luckily, my older brother and his wife became our guardians for a few years until I was old enough to take care of myself. But at that time, I came home to an empty house, and I remember going in my backyard. The wind was whipping about me. It was cold and rainy, and I looked in the big plate glass window, and I saw this skinny little 14-year-old girl staring back with these big frightened eyes. And that was me. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I said out loud, I promise you, the time is going to come when you will have a family again, a whole family, and you will be happy. And I basically went to the backyard and dropped down on my knees and just prayed for help.
Mm-hmm.
There were those times, but then there were other times when I had my friends and my family who were very supportive, helping me through the dark times. But in the writing of this book, I came to the conclusion that honestly, I wouldn't trade those 12 or 14 years with those parents. Not that they were perfect, but I loved them so much, and they loved us. And I wouldn't trade those 12 and 14 years for 100 years with any other parents. They were a part of my destiny. They, not only their lives, but their death, brought gifts and brought me to where I am now.
Beautifully said. I think many people come to a place when they do the inner work of healing and finding our truth, that the most, whatever childhood you have, good, bad, or indifferent, you see it as a gift because it helps you evolve as a person. It helps you know who you are, and you build that inner strength. And then 9 times out of 10, afterwards, you want to make a difference in other people's lives. And this book that you have written has done exactly that. Life is fascinating. It's okay to go through the heavy times. It's okay to be on your knees. I think the best connection with God source is when we're on our knees and we surrender. And for you to experience that as a young girl and see yourself through the window, that's quite profound. That is quite profound. So you can tell where you have evolved to now, but started there.
Yes, it did. Yeah, it was an important time in my life. At the time, I just thought it was a dark and sad time in my life, but it was a very important time in my life.
Yeah.
And those times do help you to... go ahead.
No, you go right ahead. Those times do help you.
I was just going to say those times do help you to become more empathetic, more aware of other people's fragility and sadnesses, and just, you know, they help you to really find what's important, too, you know?
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to mention, and I don't know if you'd like to read it, but you have said in the book, there's so many little verses and such in the book for those that are listening, so be sure to get the book anywhere you buy books. But you have said, each experience for us is like a baby left on the doorstep. Do you recall that?
Yeah.
I thought that was quite deep. Yes.
If I can find it really quickly, has come back to me just recently. As a matter of fact, I was walking to school one morning when I was a teacher, and school was only a short distance away, my high school where I was teaching, and this idea came to me that every event is like a baby left on your doorstep. And let me just see. I think I...
Yeah, it's 183. It's page 183.
Okay.
I just thought that was
Okay, it says, each of our experiences is like a baby left on our doorstep. We can embrace it while it's in our care, or we can resist it, walk around it, and ignore it, though it cries out to us for love. If we neglect it, the child will intensify its wailing until we're forced, at the very least, to notice it. If ever we truly want peace and quiet, we'll pick it up and nourish it. Then and only then will the cries cease. Then and only then will we, in a sense, be free. On the other hand, if we flee from it, we might escape the wailing for a while, but the memory will follow us everywhere, haunting us until at last we return, lift the infant into our arms, and tend to its needs. The child might be beautiful and bright, or it might be homely, deformed, damaged. Even then, perhaps especially then, it needs care, love, and nourishment. As we resist it, we're merely postponing the inevitable. More and more babies placed on our doorstep. More wailing, more hunger, more need, more discontent. But when we embrace it, healing comes at last to the infant and to all of us. And I began to realize that the baby on my doorstep was my grief in the divorce and the separation and all of that, and the grief that we all have. And I do find when I'm sad, I try to look at what it is that's causing the sorrow. Sometimes it's not even totally apparent. But when I realize what it is that's causing me to be sorrowful, I actually envision myself embracing that sorrow, embracing the situation, and just saying, what is this that you are teaching me? What am I trying to find out? In what is my soul trying to discover? What am I trying to discover? And it's amazing when I hold that to my heart, how actually the grief dissipates. It's like holding a baby in your arms instead of letting it just continually cry, and you know, it really makes a difference in my life when I really take notice of what it is that's bothering me, embrace it, and listen for the lesson.
Yeah, and it's always there. You know, sometimes
it's
things
always
might
there.
Take a few days, but if you keep and you ask, show me what I need to know, anything as you're saying, it will come. And the clarity feels so good, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, wow. And then you have that freedom, and you can look at whatever it is that needs to be healed, or maybe you just the acknowledgement of what was bothering you. Now the clarity is there, and off it goes. It's free and off. I love that. Yeah, so we're coming up on another break, Pam. And for the listeners out there, I want everyone to just buy this book, Moving with God, Past the Pain of Divorce, Death, or Any Parting of Our Lives When Joined. And you can also, we give away 3 books a month, and Pam's book is actually a giveaway, 1 winner. We usually do a children's book, one of the authors in the community, as well as one of our hosts, because most of them are authors. And so we give those 3 books away. So check that out. You might want to sign up for the free newsletter so you could see if you can buy one. But it's good to get one free. But you want to buy a couple, because I'm a proponent of reading books and holding them. And there's not a better gift to give than a book. And my girls all grew up knowing that reading was a joy, and it is. It takes, no matter where you live or what country you're in, what area, it can take your life into a whole new aspect just by reading. So we'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around 7 paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times best-selling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 800-944-1001.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because a child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Pam, which I think is huge, is forgiving yourself. That was something that you found through writing to God. And that's huge because we learn that forgiving others is really for us, not for them, and to be at peace with that. But there isn't a lot of talk about forgiving yourself as well. So could you tell us what brought you to realize that, I mean, we all need to forgive ourselves. But share, please.
Yes, I think that is huge. I mean, if we could even imagine what it would be like to think how free we could be if we felt like, I made no mistakes. I've never made a mistake in my life. Just think how freeing. I mean, imagine that, how freeing that is. Because that's the number one thing I think that holds us back and keeps us from being as happy as we can be. Because every mistake that we make, we tend to, it's our human brains that we tend to focus sometimes on those weaknesses, those mistakes, et cetera, more so than we do our triumphs, our successes, our joys, and so forth. I a lot of times will think about Viktor Frankl and his book in which he described, he was a Holocaust survivor and an author, psychiatrist, and so forth, who wrote the last, he talks about the last of the human freedoms. And here was in a concentration camp, lying in a bed, half clothed, freezing, starving to death, having been beaten by the guards, and all seemed to be lost. And suddenly, this amazing realization came to him that the last of the human freedoms, that yes, they could starve him, they could beat him, they could even kill him, but they could not take away the one most important thing, the last of the human freedoms, in other words, the ability to respond to hatred with love. They could not take that away from him. They could not take away his ability to respond to whatever the situation. And I think that is part of the whole forgiveness thing. Yeah. We have the choice within us, and I do believe it's God-given, we have the choice to look at everything we have done, said, wished we'd said, in a different light. And that is the light that we still can love ourselves. We can totally realize that there is good in everything, that we're going to choose to love ourselves no matter what we've done in the past, said, or what we have failed to do. That if we can do that, then we can move on and do the most amazing things. We can find the light that is within each one of us. And we will then see the light in another so much more. We will be more empathetic and more open to the mistakes of others, and realize that maybe there isn't really exactly a mistake. Maybe each thing that we do, yeah, we wish we had done things differently, and if we had the chance to do things over, we would do things differently, hopefully. But we're also on a journey, and that journey is full of opportunities to make mistakes and to move forward as well and to do the right thing as best we can. Forgiveness has been a really hard thing for me to come to grips with. Self-forgiveness. I really don't have that hard of a time forgiving other people anymore. Maybe at one point in my life I might have. Now, I tend to bless people rather than be angry with them for very long. But I do still deal with the whole self-forgiveness thing, and I have to keep reminding myself. And that's okay. I'm okay with the idea that, yes, sometimes I'm beating myself up, and then I suddenly remember who I really am and who I really want to be, and I can say, okay, I forgive you, Pam. And I can even hold myself in that embrace that I was talking about as like the baby, and I can feel the loathing or whatever it is dissipate, and I can love myself again and realize that I probably do more good than I do bad, and most people do. But it's a very important lesson and a very hard lesson for many of us to learn, I think. Right. A lifetime lesson.
Yeah, beautifully said, Pam. And the thing is we all, I think we're designed, you know, with the ego being part of our whole being, that we need to kind of tell it, oh, excuse me, you know, I have moved on from that. I have learned that I am a loving, beautiful soul. And when we're all finding our way. We're all finding our way. And sometimes we are hard on ourselves. We know better. Why did we say that in such a way? We know better. But we're here on earth, and we're experiencing us, you know, on the earth plane. And so it just is. It's how we are going to respond to it. How do we respond?
Yes.
And that's a huge thing, because I believe that's all part of, you know, what goes on in the world. There's a little bit of us that are all part of the heaviness that's going on out in the world. And that's why it's so important to go within and see the truth of who we are and see what we can improve, so we're not contributing to that collective. But it's life on earth is the whole thing. But some of us are really hard on ourselves.
Oh, we are. You know, in my book, actually, I talk about the fact that, again, like the forgiveness and the where we're down on ourselves about things, those are just thoughts. They are just thoughts. And sometimes those thoughts are not really very correct if you look at the whole picture of things. And do I have time to read just one little section of this book that talks about that?
Yes, you do.
Okay. I'm just going to kind of jump from one place to another. It says, my mind has become a monster that doesn't seem to belong to me anymore, and I have become its slave. But lately, ever since God mentioned in a discussion we had a few weeks ago that our minds don't control us unless we let them, I've been noticing my thoughts without trying to fix them, simply observing them and seeing what they are and where they're taking me. I don't always remember to do this, but when I do, I just stop for a minute and go inside to see what's happening there, what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, how my body's reacting to it all. Mostly, when I'm thinking negative thoughts, I feel a kind of burning and churning in or around my solar plexus. But when I actually take a moment to pause and notice, some of the uneasiness dissipates. Interesting. I've also begun to realize that so many of my thoughts are just part of the tape I've been playing over and over in my mind for as long as I can remember, a tape that's not necessarily accurate. For example, I really was a good mother and still am. Yes, I'm a busy working mother, an English teacher who has lots of papers to correct, but a supportive and loving mother, too, who's always there at my son's games and performances, watching with rapt attention far more than correcting papers. Anyway, I've started talking back to that tape in my mind. Oh, it's you again, I say. My critic, who thinks I'm the cause of everything that's gone wrong in the world. Or, oh, here's my you're not, just not good enough tape again. You know, I'm getting a little tired of your music. Maybe I'll put on a different tune. Unfortunately, I don't always catch myself until after I've fallen into this huge crevasse of worthlessness and depression. But even then, if I stop to observe what's happening inside, I find I'm usually not quite so stuck in the mire as I was before. My best friends, my thoughts, are still there trying to drag me down, but at least I'm not as inclined to believe everything they tell me about myself or my life in general, or life in general. Just this new little bit of questioning and observing has helped me see things, myself, and others and my relationships more compassionately. And compassion, well, whenever I view this life of mine and those of others from a place of compassion, I find the scenery quite extraordinary after all. So, yes,
that's
I think
so
those
good.
Thoughts, you know, those thoughts are, they get in the way of our happiness at times. And we really do have control over them, but we have thought that we don't. It just takes some work sometimes to get our thoughts out of the mire and the muck and all of that.
Exactly. But, you know, the first point is listening to your thoughts and tuning in. And then it goes from there, and then you're having quite a time with yourself in the respect of relationship.
So, yes, absolutely.
Yes, so we only have like a minute left. First of all, I wanted to ask you, how is your life today, and are you at peace with everything that happened years back? And what would you like to leave the listeners with?
I would just say my life is far more peaceful. It's a journey, but as far as the divorce, the separation and eventual divorce, that has worked out beautifully for myself and for my former husband. We have our significant others, and the four of us often get together for dinners. In fact, tonight we are going to. We go on trips together with our kids. Just like best friends. We have a very symbiotic relationship. He helps me. I help him. We all help each other. So it's a beautiful relationship. My kids have never felt torn. My kids, who are now adults, have never felt torn. And I am so, so grateful for that, Deborah. And I wanted to say this one quote, too, that I think is just so beautiful from an author and spiritual leader called Arundhati Roy, who said, "Another world is not only possible, she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing." And you know, Deborah, in talking with you, I hear her breathing right now. It's a beautiful world. I feel that we are so blessed. I have been so blessed in this lifetime. And I just want to reach out and say thank you to everyone, including you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been an honor to have you and have you spread your wisdom. And yes, there's so much to be blessed for. I mean, just to get up in the morning and breathe and be able to smell the air, see a butterfly, all those things. Those are blessings. And
absolutely.
Yeah, so I thank you. And for everyone out there, buy the book, Moving with God Past the Pain of Divorce, Death, and Any Parting of Loves Once Joined by Pam Colquist. You can find it on Amazon, on our website. You can find it anywhere you buy your books. So go do that and buy a couple of them, one for yourself and a friend. And until the next time we come together in love, and unity, consciousness, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.